The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes they're friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The most romantic of movies, where a commoner is swept off her feet by a handsome prince into a life of love, luxury, and eternal Christmas.
The movie where the buffoonish elite feast while the commoners starve.
The movie where a newly ruling usurper to the throne ignores his best advisors and sends the country into despair and crushing, crushing debt.
It's the Christmas Prince, a royal wedding.
No. Why are you so happy?
Why are you not?
Christmas. Everyone's out of work!
It's the perfect movie for 2020.
The world is terrible! Everyone's dying!
Was that okay? Was that, like, cheerful enough? Was it too much?
On Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast countdown the biggest hit movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And I'm Erica Lira.
And we are joined, yes, once again, by Erica Lira.
You're welcome.
And you know what that means.
Thank you. Yep. Best movie ever.
Last time, it was your birthday, Erica, and we were like, what movie do you want to do? And you said Christmas Prince.
Yeah, I did, because I have horrible taste.
Because you have a weird ideal of what love is. It's all Christmas in a small town that doesn't exist in real life.
It's all Christmas in a small, foreign, like, non-English English kingdom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This time, it's Eric's birthday, and I asked him, what do you want to do on Saturday? And he said, I want to record Christmas Prince. Part two.
Technically accurate.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Royal wedding.
Thank you, Tocayo. I appreciate it.
So, yes, this is our very late Christmas in July. Spectacular.
Christmas in August is fine.
Yeah.
This is 2020.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to tell us when Christmas gets to be.
Yeah.
Don't judge our Christmas celebrations.
Yeah, you're not the boss of Christmas. Yeah. I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's Erica why is in fact the boss of Christmas.
And Christmas is now, bitches.
So yeah, obviously, like I said, we normally do the biggest hit movies of the 80s. Christmas Prince, though, 2018, 19 movie, something like that.
But it feels like it was made in the 80s. So
I mean, it feels like it was made in the 50s. But
yeah, 2018, yeah.
Yeah, 1850s.
So this is a Netflix movie.
1850s.
This is a good old Netflix coming to us with
part two of a trilogy.
Just a bunch of schlock and terribleness.
I'm really excited to delve into the expanded Christmas Prince cinematic. Yeah, the cinematic universe of this.
The CPCU, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the little wheelchair girl wasn't growing weird amounts, I would say that they shot these movies at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then put them out there. But in the part three, when we saw the trailer, that little girl's like 6 feet tall.
Much older.
Yeah. Yeah. She would have to be.
The tall head, too. Her head is just getting longer.
Her head is getting very large. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's where all the growth spurts happen when you're royal.
She's smart. She's supposed to be smart. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
She's getting that leader head from the Hulk, where she has like a 3 foot tall like head,
massive
forehead.
That 90s MTV cartoon, the head, where it's just demons living with this giant head.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Oh, that was such a good cartoon.
Yeah, it was. It was super weird.
Yeah.
So the first movie is about just your regular small town, big city girl.
Yep.
Because that's exactly just what she is.
The girl next door from any small town America, aka Manhattan.
Yeah, exactly. Who's a blogger.
Yeah, well, in the first movie, she's a reporter.
Yeah, well, she's a journalist, magazine, but she also had a blog.
Yes.
She didn't have the blog.
Yeah.
But she was working for, like, a legitimate magazine, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
I mean, in so much as a magazine is legitimate in 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't really talk about how she's supporting herself now that she's not with the magazine.
Well, she has a blog.
Well, she's
with tens and tens of views.
Her boyfriend is a king.
Yeah, well, and she's, I mean, she's a media influencer now, right?
I guess.
Something. I think so.
Yeah. Right? I just think it's really, well, I mean, I know we're already like jumping into plot, so to speak, but she's been engaged at the start of this movie. They've been engaged for a year.
Yes.
And throughout this year, they've done nothing to, work out the issues of protocol.
That's true.
They've done nothing to plan the wedding.
That's true too.
They've done nothing to communicate what kind of
obviously,
wedding they want to have.
When you're planning a royal wedding, TM, TM, TM. You do it a week before,
yeah, one
right?
week. That's all you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, is it even a week? It's like 4 days.
Yeah, they arrive like maybe like a week before Christmas, and they don't really start planning until like a couple of days.
A week before max.
I get confused because there's like 48 costume changes.
There are a lot of costume changes, even when scenes are almost definitely supposed to happen
back to back.
Back to back. Yeah.
She's
all of the money. All the money for this movie went to costuming.
Yeah, exactly.
And camera and unnecessary camera movements
and fake snow
and fake snow. Obviously. Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
and that
snow
very, very beautiful horse.
What was she reporting on in the first one?
So she was reporting on him because he was supposed to become the king.
Okay, right. And he was a rapscallion.
Yeah. Oh yes, yeah. He was like such a playboy, right. And you never actually saw him with women, you know, or anything like that. But.
Well, as you pointed out, this movie and all of these movies, I assume, we haven't seen part three yet, are completely sexless.
Utterly and totally without any.
Yeah. Like, there are two kisses, I think, in both movies combined, and that is the height of any sort of.
Yeah, you're right. There's only like two kisses, and one is at a wedding.
Yep.
So, like,
yeah, it was
the most obligatory kiss.
It's actually the kiss at the end of this movie that was probably the sexiest scene in, like, all three movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I can safely say that, even though I haven't seen the third one yet. But yeah,
I mean, there is the full vagina shot as the baby pops out.
There is that in the third one. Yeah,
yeah. They go very realistic for that.
Yeah,
they go for a full like Lars von Trier.
Yes,
it's just like full on vagina opening.
Yep, yep.
That would have been amazing. Like, can you imagine if they would have gotten one like a director at that level?
To just
if Netflix
for
just threw money, like we want you to do holiday, you know, just this heteronormative Christmas movie.
It's one of those things that you, like that don't exist, but we all wish like,
happened.
Like Tarantino's Star Trek movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Khodorkovsky's Dune movie. Or
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, those movies should have happened. It would have been cool.
I mean, we got David Lynch's Dune movie, sort of.
Kind
of,
exactly.
But, you know, that didn't go so well.
I want to see David Lynch's Christmas Prince movie.
That would be
cool. Especially current day David Lynch, because he's at another level now,
of weirdness. Right? Yeah, of just pointless weirdness.
No, he's not even that. Like, I don't know. He's I don't know, creepier.
I guess.
Well, here's my hot take, okay? And it's this. Wes Anderson is just basically the Hallmark movie director for hipsters. And that's it.
Ooh, hot take.
Oh, hot take. I love Wes
Anderson. I mean, think about it. They're pretty formulaic.
Yeah, kind
of. You know, they have a language that you expect to see and understand. Yeah. You know, certain types of quirky characters are always going to show up. Certain types of costuming choices you're always going to see. So.
No, shut up. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's right, because I don't watch movies. You're right. I'm sorry.
But this
my
movie
daddy
does
issues.
So now that your audience hates me.
All my daddy issues, though. They're all in there.
They're all in there.
Yeah.
He gets them all to a T. Bill Murray, obviously my dad.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. I mean, he's such a dad.
Yeah. He's kind of like, he used to party a little bit. It's kind of rough, you know. He's not a perfect guy, obviously. Mm-hmm. Caused a lot of damage way back. But, you know.
But he's trying.
He's trying now. Yeah.
And Amber's trying. She's trying to have it all. She's trying to be a blogger. She's trying to be a future queen.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, go back and listen to our first Christmas Prince episode because we are drunk as hell.
Yes.
And
we are.
The movie is insane.
Yeah.
And I think way more insane than this movie.
It was
This movie is bad and we'll get into it, but the first movie is like at another level.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. This one, it's more of a, it's almost like a letdown after the first one.
Yeah.
This one kind of, it does kind of have that feeling like director walked away and the cinematographer's like, I could direct that fucking movie.
Yeah.
I was here for the first one. I can nail this movie. Yeah.
And I have all these nice tracks to put the camera on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we'll just
like
twirl the camera.
And that's exactly what a cinematographer would do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, let's get some good movie shots, man.
Just all movie shots.
Yeah.
All movie shots. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly, and that's, it really does have that feel. Like, it feels like nobody directed it. Somebody just put the camera on the tracks.
Yeah.
And then they're like, which shot do you want? We want her? All right, move the camera from there to there.
Move the camera back and forth on her.
Move it back and forth on her. We got it.
Yeah.
Let's move it over. Okay, up and down on this one.
Yep.
We got it. Yeah.
Come to that, it doesn't feel like it really had a writer either.
That's true.
Because, like we can very quickly sum it up. Basically, she arrives for her wedding, which somehow hasn't been planned despite a year of being engaged.
I don't want you to go too far, though.
No.
Because I really want to break down the nonsense that is this movie. So, just real quick, the first movie, she's a regular small town girl / from New York, goes over to investigate this prince for her fancy magazine, wants to, like, get him because he's no good. Turns out, you know, they fall in love, blah, blah, blah. There's a subplot.
No good.
Yeah. There's a subplot with the cousin trying to steal the country.
Yeah.
We all think that the little girl's going to become the true Christmas princess.
But they fucked it up.
They fucked it up. They give it to him.
The Game of Thrones last episode.
Yeah. They season 8 it.
They should have been season 3 in it. With the red wedding, and instead they season-dated.
Yeah. Big time.
But so, yeah, they fall in love. The cousin is outed. Everyone's happy. And she's still wearing those Converses.
Yep.
So, cut to...
A year later, like you said, they have a year later.
Erica?
There's a new dad.
Erica, walk us through this.
All right. So, yeah. So, it's a year later, and she's just, you know, she's arriving in time for her wedding, you know, a few days before. This unplanned wedding.
Giant royal wedding.
Yes, gigantic royal wedding that she flies commercial coach to attend.
Which was really funny.
Yeah, very funny. And then she arrives at a very public airport.
Yep, the same airport from the first movie.
Yeah, and with a brand new father.
Yeah.
Because
they recast a dad.
Yeah, I mean, who among us haven't wanted to recast a father? Sure. I mean, not me, but I'm sure like other people have.
I actually really like this guy.
The new guy's actually really good. Really so good. This new guy...
Is he...
For this movie, yes.
Dude? Okay.
Relative to everyone else in this movie, he's very good.
He had a very strong sleazy vibe.
Yes. Like, he's just, at least, he's making choices.
Yeah.
He's going for it. He's like, oh, I'm a New York guy. I'm going to like be from Brooklyn and I'm a sleazy chef. And I'm just going to flirt with every woman in the movie.
He's like someone from, you know, like on Brooklyn Nine-Nine when they go undercover and they like, he's like one of their undercover personas. Yes.
Yeah. He is Andy Sandberg doing a character.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Feel like they were like, oh, people really responded to the dad character. Let's amp this fucker up.
Yeah.
Like,
let's get someone with energy.
Let's sleazy him up. Let's have him flirt with everybody. Let's have him be like way too rough.
Yes.
Royalty.
And like way too creepy with the little girl. Like just like, is he flirting with her? Like what is happening? This is very weird.
Like I said, every woman in the movie flirts with.
Yeah.
And I was convinced, and we haven't seen part 3 yet. So, you know, don't spoil this for me, internet. But I really was expecting him to get down with either the queen or the, not the maitre d'. What do you call her? The Seneschal?
The Seneschal.
Seneschal.
It was down to the queen, the Seneschal, or the cook.
The cook was, I really was thinking it was going to be the cook. Because, you know, he's a cook, she's a cook.
Well, he won her over.
Yeah. It kind of was a cook. Yeah, they seem like they've hooked up by the end.
Well, I really wished I would have had a scene where the, like, they're missing, and then he comes out, and like his shirt, like his tie is over his head.
Well, that's the problem with this movie being so sexless, is they can't even do a joke like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't make sense to me that it's so sexless. It's not Hallmark or Lifetime. It's
Netflix.
No, but
it's trying to be. It's definitely trying. Like, if you look...
For the Ericas of the world.
Yes. Well, and it's for all of the, like, religious... You know, 40-year-old moms.
Yeah, no, he had it right for the Ericas of the world. I like my men sexless. He's very right. Like, if they're neutered, that's like my perfect dream man.
They're neutered and they're thoughtful enough to put you in a Christmas carriage.
Yeah, like just get me like a horse and carriage, a tiara, you know, some snow.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, and be a Ken doll. That's all I ask. I don't think my standards are that high.
No penis.
No sex
That's
drive.
The dream. Oh, God.
You just got to get a guy who's a like, super heavy antidepressant.
I was going to say, Todd in BoJack Horseman.
Yeah, just an asexual guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to find an ace romantic.
Yeah, exactly.
An aro or whatever they call themselves.
Yeah.
Like, one of those who just, like, fall in love with me and, like, just not want to, like, put me through the hassle of boning. The dream.
They didn't exist before 5 years ago.
They existed. We just called them priests.
Yeah, exactly. We just call them weirdos.
Yeah.
Or like made fun of them for being 40-year-old virgins.
Yeah. That,
Steve Carell's. All right, so new dad. Uh-huh. But she shows up at the airport. And, now they're back in Aldovia, right?
Yeah, they're back in Aldovia. And there's kind of like a callback scene in that dad tries to get a cab. Because why would fucking limos arrive for a princess, right?
Exactly.
So he goes straight for the cab. And like some very fancy lad beats him to it, kind of.
He's just from New York City. He only knows cabs.
Yeah, he's like, hey, this is my cab. And the fancy boy's like, oh no, this is my cab.
Well, I really kind of...
And it turns out, rather than an Indian guy driving it, it's an Indian guy riding in it.
Europe, man. I swear, so crazy.
Weird. Backwards over.
Expectations reverse.
Yes. But then it turns out, they do bring limos for the incoming queen.
Guess what? Yeah, royalty does get limos and a caravan, I guess.
Yeah, but it's a very coach caravan, too.
Yeah. So
it's, yeah, I mean, they're just, they're not even limos. It's just BMWs.
Yeah.
It's just like a regular BMW sedan.
Like entry level.
The budget's not that high.
Yeah, no, the budget's not
that high. But that actually brings us to the main plot of this, which surprisingly is not the wedding. It's the country is going bankrupt for some reason, despite a major infrastructure and spending stimulus.
That's right.
You know, and the prince just, he doesn't know what's happening or what's going on, and apparently don't have accountants.
That's true. So the prince is, throughout this movie, there is a subplot where the prince is always too busy to spend time with the queen-to-be. Mm-hmm. He's trying to figure out this whole issue. It's not that hard. Like, it's all going to a couple of companies that are all owned by one guy.
Yeah, he's a shitty king.
And at the one time we see him when they, like, finally break in on his... his very important meeting, he's sitting completely alone in a mostly dark room signing a paper.
Yep, that's what you'd be king.
That's
king stuff, yeah.
That was, I mean, come on. What else was he going to do? Like, you know, check the books?
Right.
Yeah, it's almost like...
hire an accountant?
All the problems that they had in the beginning, in the first one about him being a shitty king,
turns out the cousin was right yet again.
Yeah, he's still a shitty king.
Still a shitty king.
And the cousin helped solve the problem. So the cousin, if the cousin was a king,
he would have got on that shit quick.
Yeah, he would have got on the shit. Also, the kind of weird setup where, all right, so that's what's happened. That's what happens.
All right, let's rewind.
Come, and then they do like this big reveal where they're like, the queen is here and everybody's booing him. And like, well, he's doing like an address, right?
Right.
People. And everybody's booing him and they're like, we lost our jobs and where's our money? And then that's when you find out that the cousin is back.
Right, so they introduce him with this very, you know, dramatic bump, bump, bump.
Everybody
and he's
gets
got this like
into their face.
He's got
he's
like,
dressed like a Victorian street urchin.
Yeah, he's got like the emo Spider-Man 3 haircut.
Yeah,
and yeah, it made
Tweety
me think,
jacket.
Yeah,
matching
I was like,
little cap.
Did this guy get kicked out of Slytherin? Where is this guy coming from?
Yeah, and I was actually like, oh, he looks kind of cool. Like,
he does, yeah.
He just got lost on the way to the Newsies audition.
there you go.
Is what happened. And he ended up in Aldovia. And he immediately proves that he would have made a better king.
Yes.
Because he actually, has a degree in economics from Oxford. And he took it first, you guys. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also does a weird thing where he sets up a cryptocurrency thing that never gets paid off.
Yeah, because you keep waiting for someone to be like, okay, well, we'll invest some money. And then, oh, it made a bunch more money. But no, it just kind of never gets mentioned again.
If he showed up at the end, he's like, here's a briefcase full of money. And they're like, where did you get all this money? Well, that cryptocurrency I told you about.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Or I was thinking like, well, I took the liberty of getting some of the money and putting it in that cryptocurrency that I was trying. Right.
But that's not even the weirdest thing. The weirdest thing is that apparently he married that lady Sophia
from
the first movie.
Oh my God, let's talk about that.
Yeah, he just casually mentions that he got divorced from her.
And
when did
everything.
He marry her?
Yes. So when we last left them, right, they were engaged but not married.
Right.
And when he did not become king, she was like, you're a fucking loser, and left.
Yes.
Nope, still toxic relationships, man.
Yeah.
Still married him.
Yeah. Ridiculous, dude.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe his... I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know. Like, that's why I say that I don't think anyone wrote the script.
Yeah.
Like angry fucking. She was like, I hate you so much, but the sex.
Yeah.
It's out of his world.
She must be doing something right for him to marry her after that.
I mean, dude has big balls. We know that.
Yeah.
Just
show up and be like, hey, I know I tried to steal the country, but I'm broke now.
Oh,
and
guys, I want some money. I got some opportunities for you guys.
Yeah.
And cryptocurrency, totally legit, not weird at all.
Meanwhile, what's her name? I always forget the main character. I forget all characters' names.
Amber.
Yeah.
They're all two-dimensional cardboards.
Yeah, they're nothing. Yeah.
Amber is having a hard time because... guess what? And royal weddings, they tell you what to wear and shit.
Yeah.
Isn't that... and she's shocked. She's absolutely fucking shocked.
Again,
never
she's
mind.
Been engaged for a year.
Yes.
To
like
the prince.
Every single issue that comes up, from wardrobe to jewelry, everything, are things that would have come up way before now.
Well, these are all funny things, though. And, I mean, the movie obviously is very, very hilarious, right?
Yeah, clearly.
So we can't miss out on any of this golden comedy.
No, not at all. It's not as if they could have invented, like, new things to plumb for.
Yeah,
No. We need those cliches, so
that's
we're going
right.
to, like, pretend
again,
they were frozen for a year and then just...
They wrote this, and by they, I mean... probably the director and...
Probably the cinematographer again.
Probably the cinematographer.
Again, the director quit.
Yeah.
He's like, I can write this.
Yeah, the cinematographer wrote it one day having drinks with, I don't know, an extra.
And probably the actress.
Yeah, maybe the actress. They knocked it out in a day. Yeah. So
trying to get into
you can't expect too much. Yeah. Oh yeah, he was definitely definitely working that angle.
Yep. And then they wrote this.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. So I do not know how to pronounce the cinematographer's name. It's probably Russian.
Yeah.
I have more than one Russian friend, and I do not want to disappoint them. So I'm just gonna yeah. It's
here. I'll butcher it.
Yeah.
Butcher
you go ahead and butcher that name
because.
Yeah.
In Mother Russia, we call him Vero Segovici.
Damn.
That almost went like more like
isn't the V like
Italian
a W?
Or something.
So it's isn't it like...
That sounded more like Vini Vidi Vici.
Yeah. Wurl? Would it be Wurl? Like how Chekhov would pronounce it? Wurl.
I don't know what it looks like, so I don't know.
His name is Nuclear Wessel.
Yeah,
his name is Wurl.
Very good. Perfect. Oh, yeah, I can't believe you, of all people, would make that joke.
Yeah, I love joke. That movie. I begged you to be part of that podcast. You're like, no, and you have a dumb Trekkie.
You're a girl. Girls don't know anything about Star Trek. That's what I said. We had a conversation.
I did.
I'm like, I know everything about that movie.
Yeah.
Like,
vagina,
I,
not Star Trek.
I achieved puberty to that movie.
Why, Spock? Or?
Yeah, man. He's like swimming around, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah, he does. He jumps right in that whale.
Yeah. I'm like, that's right.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And then he like just like puts his like fingers around the whale eye, and I'm like, yeah.
That's
me next, pal. Me next.
Wow.
We're learning a lot of things.
48-year-old Spock was your dad.
I mean, all those like
about your sexual awakening.
Yeah,
it was also probably like 58-year-old Spock.
Yeah, but. Yep. 58-year-old Spock was your jam back then.
Yeah, I mean,
Leonard Nimoy, sexy man.
Yeah, the deeper like if it has like a really nice craggy face, oh, I'm in love.
Ooh. Oh yeah, and he
Clint Eastwood must be like getting you wet night and day.
Ooh, man, they wrote WAP after I like watched a Clint Eastwood marathon, and that would be terrible. Yeah. So, so that's the cinematographer. The director is supposedly John Schultz.
That sounds fake.
It does sound fake.
Yeah, that's not a real guy.
Well, if you...
Again, that's just a cinematographer.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's actually, like,
what's an American name? John.
Pick an American name.
And then he just picked Schultz from one of his baseball heroes.
John Schultz from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Isn't John Schultz the name of a baseball player that played for, like, the Reds or something?
Excuse me, he was a drummer. He was in a band called The Connells. So, Kevin Wetter, if you're listening to this, send me a DM and let me know if you ever saw this dude's band play. Because apparently it's a big enough deal that that's the entirety of his IMDb bio.
He's a band guy and now he's directing fucking like
shitty movies.
Yeah.
And he appears to have directed a lot of movies, actually.
I wonder if he still hangs out with the band and he's like, hey, did you guys see my new movie? And they're like, oh, yeah, the one with the prince.
So, he did not direct the first Christmas Prince movie.
That does not surprise me.
He directed the second one and the third, so I'm not very excited about the third.
I'm worried
there's going to be a lot of spinning camera work.
I wonder if he was just playing in the band in the first one.
And they were like, you.
And he's like, I can direct this, guys. Come on, guys.
What heights did the director of the first movie reach after passing on part two and three?
I feel like he was ridiculed.
Ridiculed out of the business?
Retirement. Yeah.
Wow. You know, he actually wrote a movie called When Zachary Beaver Came to Town.
Oh, that old jam.
That needs to be classic. I mean, I know we all grew up watching this.
Yeah.
It was released in 2003 and we're all old, but we all grew up watching this.
Yeah.
Well,
it was like the Maniac McGee of our generation.
Yep.
Yeah. It says he's a sideshow attraction known as the world's fattest boy.
Oh, my God. All right. Now I want to see this
movie. Yeah. We actually do need to see this movie.
Oh,
forget
my God.
The Christmas
The world's
Prince.
Fattest boy?
It's on Amazon Prime. Who's got Prime?
Oh. Is it a 1962 movie?
It looks like it should be, especially if you look at the picture. Like, if you guys can see...
Oh my God!
You know the
he's
world's
just
fattest.
Like a crazy is
it?
Fat
he's getting. It? Yeah, it's a baptismal scene.
It's like the peanut butter solution, which is like a weird Canadian made-for-TV movie.
Yeah. No. Okay, you guys, the podcast is over. Thank you for joining us.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna
watch the world's fattest kid. Does he get baptized and then lose the weight through the power of Christ?
I'm really excited to find out. I don't want to read any more about this because just this one scene where they're getting baptized in a fucking river. Like, yes.
And I don't know, is that a real, like, fat kid or is it a fat suit?
Oh, it's a fat suit.
It's definitely a fat suit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's 100% a fat suit.
So he's the best part is that Jonathan Lipnicki is in this.
Oh, hell
really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, where are you? We're in America. How are you going to find a fat child?
Come on, guys. All right.
Come on.
As I hide my childhood pictures.
So back to the royalist of weddings.
Oh, God. Okay. So, after Amber's there and settled in and she realizes, like, something is up that the prince isn't noticing, what was next?
We get introduced to subplot numero two.
Well, we got the party where Simon comes out, and also that's when the Indian wedding planner guy shows up and he's kind of like being a dick. And And then you find out that they're calling in Leopold. This starts one of the many trends in this movie that happens way more than I'm comfortable with, which is a party full of rich old people and one little girl in a fucking wheelchair. And everybody's drinking and like having a good time and one little girl in a wheelchair. Like, go do some shit.
She has no friends.
Eight times in this fucking movie.
If you've ever been to like a really posh fundraiser, that's exactly what it's like. It's a bunch of rich old white people and then like the little kid.
Yeah, they're not raising money for it.
They need their tiny tent. But they're so used to it. They're like, I mean, it's natural.
Did no one else bring kids for that little girl to hang out with?
Because in a royal household, they would have done that. They would have brought her peers. They would have made sure that...
Yeah, you grew up with cousins and shit because you marry your cousins eventually. So you got to know each other.
That was the subplot I was getting to.
We
get the Indian guy is just part of the main-ish plot, which is the whole like wedding.
Amber didn't know that being a queen was going to be so hard. He's just a big joke.
Yeah, well, that too.
He's a big joke.
He's a huge flaming stereotype, and I hate it.
It's almost like it's not funny ever. Like, they never go far enough.
It's literally never funny.
He's not like Martin Short in Father of the Bride, where he's like super funny. And that's on purpose.
Right.
In this one, he's just like annoying.
Yes. They're like, well, we can't go too far that it becomes offensive to anybody. So he's just going to kind of show up and sort of be a stereotype.
Be a dick.
But not have any jokes.
Yeah. I feel really bad for that actor because, like...
Yes. Well, and he comes back in part three.
Yeah, he does.
That's true. He does. Yeah.
Which, because he obviously... At the end of this movie, this is like one of those... again, talking about like this sexless, perfect 1950s movie. Mm-hmm. This is a movie where at the end of it, everybody is coupled up.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's kind of coupled up with a guy, but, you know, obviously you
it's
can't
very
say
changed.
It.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. Yeah. But it's pretty
weird because even their flirty looks, like I totally missed it the first time I watched this movie that they became a couple.
Yeah, they're just sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
Well, and you may not necessarily catch it if it's not for the fact that like that is the scene where every single person in the movie is like, hey, so you want to dance or like, you know, something to where it's like, okay.
Who was the queen dancing with?
The other servant guy, the cool servant.
Ooh, yeah. That like kind of like, what was that movie with Anne Hathaway? Princess Diaries. Like,
sure,
when the queen fell in love with her servant.
I never saw that.
Oh, what's his name? Hector Elizondo? Is that his name?
He's
shows?
Yeah, that's him.
So he was there, and he was playing the cool, like, sexy security... Well, I don't know if he was supposed to be sexy, but whatever. He was a security guy, and the queen had a crush on him. And, like, by the end of the movie, they're, like, basically boning.
I wish that would happen in real life.
That would be way better.
I'm sure that does happen.
It does happen.
But I mean, they bone, but they don't marry.
They definitely don't marry.
But yeah, and then like the bitchy girl that was Ursa in Superman 2, she hooks up with the other guy.
She did?
Yeah.
Who did she hook up with?
One of the other servant dudes. The guy with the beard.
There was only one other servant dude.
No, there was two servant dudes.
Oh, wait, the creepy Major Domo who was like always like leaning forward every time he spoke. And he had like his hands in like action figure mode all the time. I was like, what?
Very aggro.
Is there like a plastic like gun to stick in his hand?
But yeah, the point is that everyone gets together. Yes, exactly.
You would announce people with a kung fu grip. You'd be like, argh.
Yeah.
Yeah, very. Oh, okay. All right.
So, but the plot that I really want to dig into because... I don't know, because she was my favorite character from the first movie.
Yeah.
Which is the little girl.
Yeah.
She gets a first cousin boyfriend.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
this is the thing I see all the time now, and I notice it a lot now. As like in movies where it's just like there's a guy and he falls in love with a girl that's roughly his same age,
mm-hmm.
maybe like a classmate or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, those are just the same fucking white person. Those are just the same person. They look like brother and sister. They both have the same hair color, the same eye color, like the same facial structures. And it's weird to me. So she tells him, I'm going to be in a play. And it's a big deal.
This is the big reveal after they've been
reunited.
Reunited, yeah.
And then she's like, and I have a crush on the guy. And then she
Well, she denies it.
She helped, but you know.
Yeah.
But she also makes her the dress, which
is
disgusting.
Can we talk about this dress, Erica? Please,
yeah, okay.
For the
so
love
they
of
take,
all that is holy.
They take a flower girl dress from the late 80s, early 90s.
70s.
No. This is definitely, it was the size of it had a very clear Princess Di influence.
Maybe. I don't know. Like the embroidery on it made me think of like late or early 70s even. Oh,
I don't get the embroidery at all because yeah. I got the sense that like Amber was supposed to have done it because she's like, I decorated your dress. And she's like, hot gluing ribbons, you know, to it.
And it's like, oh my God. Like red and gold ribbons.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like the Phoenix Suns colors.
Well, because this little girl like is ASU? Super into the Phoenix Suns.
Right, yeah. I mean,
like, she does distance learning through ASU.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She really thinks Booker's the star of the future. But then the embroidery is all like blue and green.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with anything. It doesn't make sense.
It's so mishmashed. It looks fucking awful.
It looks Easter, not Christmas. It's baffling to me that everything this little girl touches has like gold and red ribbons that could be a symbol in a more thoughtful movie.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talking about this kid's future, like maybe she really is meant to be the rightful queen of this country because the king is useless.
I mean, and he wasn't his actual kid, right? Or something?
Yeah. She's actually. Okay. So,
He wasn't their kid.
I don't remember the guy's name because he's so without personality or charisma.
Prince Tall Blonde Guy.
Yeah. Him. So he was adopted. Because the queen, you know, couldn't get pregnant.
That's
And as you pointed out last time, you know, royals are definitely not invasive. They don't test you with an inch of your life for these things. They don't really care about, you know, fertility.
Right. Which this is, it's a thing that is never at all brought up in this movie.
Yeah.
That he's not their natural kid or anything.
Yeah, they just kind of like skim over that. Yeah. But the little girl is their natural daughter.
Right.
And
so she's like, their little miracle girl.
Yeah, and every time I see her, I'm so mad that she's not the queen because she should be.
So this is what I'm talking about about whenever I see a couple that I'm just like it's the same fucking person.
Uh huh.
The Spectacular Now with Miles Teller.
Okay.
Like look up the girl that Miles Teller
is dating.
And it's just Miles Teller. Like you can't tell me that's not his younger sister.
I mean, they're pretty close. They're pretty close.
Look at that. That's no pretty date. Close.
It's the girl that almost played Mary Jane in the Andrew Garfield movies.
Yeah. I don't even know her name, but Shailene she looks a lot like Miles Teller.
Yeah.
Like, they're really close.
They look a lot alike.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, people do this in real life. They seek out partners who look
well,
like
also, Hollywood is pretty infamous for a lot of nepotism.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I just mean this is an actual phenomenon in real life.
So who's the coolest person in this? Is the fucking cousin? Because he immediately is like the black chick. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yep. The one in the
like,
whole fucking
as
kingdom.
As soon as he shows up, he's like, hey, so.
What's your name?
Yeah, what's going on? What you do?
He
Where are you from?
He seems so grateful to find someone with melanin. It was actually.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, everybody's translucent over there, man.
It's like, I'm related to everybody in this kingdom, so.
Yeah, they're like those weird orange geckos where you can see their hearts beating.
Yeah, exactly. If you get them wet, they're just like paper see-through.
Yeah, these Oh yeah. God, fresh jeans. Yes.
Yep.
Get in me.
But so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't know how sex works because.
New fresh jeans.
Like, this will finally fix my receding hairline.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not how that works, man.
Oh, but that was so great, actually, that they found two actors with matching receding hairlines.
I know. I know.
Simon and the King.
Ridiculous. It's pretty, like.
And, like you said, real royalty usually.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Because look at Harry. His hairline's starting to go in the same.
It's gone.
He looks terrible.
Well, no, that's William. You're thinking of William. William is the one where it's gone. Harry, he still has hair, like, in the front, but the back.
It's starting to go.
Although we'll see, because I wonder if Megan's going to take him to like the hair club.
Probably,
yeah, just get hair some club for men,
or like start like massaging castor oil in the back.
No, they just go with old school like 1800
wigs, blonde or the white powdered wigs. God. If he just shows up like from like the Mutiny with Anthony Hopkins,
Harry in a peruke. Oh my God. Yes. Can he wear like a lace cravat?
I mean, he should
draw the beauty mark.
Oh my God. Oh my God. If you like powdered his face and like rouged his cheeks and painted that little teeny
I wish we could bring that back. I know they brought it back for a minute in Amadeus.
I just need a few minutes in the bathroom. I'll be back. Oh my God. Like if men would wear makeup again, that would just, I would love it.
I know. All my blotches would be gone.
Yeah.
Trust me.
I mean, you could. Oh, my Francisco, you would look fucking amazing with eyeliner. You really would.
Should I just start wearing eyeliner?
Honestly, yeah.
But act like it's not a thing?
Yeah, yes. You're like, what are you talking about? This is my natural
honestly,
face.
Honestly, yeah. You could just start wearing like the eyeliner and say nothing.
Yeah.
And then just like drown in women.
And then from one day to the next, just show up in eyeliner. So people are like,
yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah. Like, put it on. Don't say anything.
You got to do it really like subtle though. Like the first day, just really light.
No, you know what? I'm going to go super heavy, but wear sunglasses into the room.
Oh,
and then just take them off dramatically.
Mm. Yeah. Reveal. Like,
pachow. And everybody's like, man, leave some pussy for the rest of us.
And you're like, no. No, it's all mine
all
now.
All mine. Yeah. Get in the back, ladies.
So, yeah. So, that's the kind of energy that Simon brings to the table as well.
Right.
Actually, I'm not even kidding.
Like, so, Simon's back.
Yeah.
He shows up and he's like, hey, my bitchy wife. You remember her, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How I married her for some reason. Yeah. She took everything in the divorce. Evidently, Aldovia's legal system for divorce, not great for the guys.
Every subplot in this movie is better than the main plot in this movie. Because the subplot that I think was the most interesting one is that the people are like out of money and out of jobs and they're not getting paid.
Right.
And they're planning a giant extravagant royal wedding at the same time.
Right.
Which lends itself to a lot of stuff.
Really should have led to another, like an add-on to that subplot. Where we're following like a Les Mis style revolution.
Yeah, and it gets close. They went on strike and stuff.
Yeah.
Honestly, that would have been a much better
movie.
They
shut down the school play, which that's hardcore.
Well, because apparently this elite private school was using like unionized theater stagehands or some shit.
Exactly.
And they went on strike in solidarity. Now, again,
also the theater, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but my God. The theater in this place, you go into the theater room, like it starts with a wide shot and you're like, oh, it's a pretty big theater. The stage is like 2 feet across.
Because well,
it's the smallest stage. No.
But the auditorium is massive. Because
there is no stage that is that small for a theater.
The stage was the size of like a full size mattress.
They built it for Simon and Garfunkel. And nobody else.
Like, this is only for one man and two man acoustic shows.
That's all we do here.
Yeah.
Well, it's curious.
It's a stand up club.
Yep.
It's just one guy, microphone.
One guy, a microphone, and 5,000 seats.
That's right.
Because it was just a huge
Just for Dave Chappelle shows. That's all we do here.
Yep.
Honestly, yeah, that would work. Can you imagine?
So then they bring in Leopold, which is the best named character.
Yes.
Everybody. It's
where did they bring him from? Where was he?
He was in Morocco?
He was in Monaco.
Monaco.
And I need you all to remember this for later. Leopold, the former prime minister who was the old king's buddy, fucked off to Monaco after the king died because he just couldn't figure out how to... Whatever. Yeah. And so now the kingdom's in trouble because despite this big spending stimulus, you know, companies
everyone's going out of business.
Yeah. It makes no sense to me, right? Yeah. Because someone's doing this work. Who's doing this work?
Like, yeah. So it really is who's doing this work.
Yeah.
It seems like it would be incredibly easy to find out.
Is there a company?
And once
they never show it.
And once they find out, they're like, well, every company in Aldovia is registered to the national thing. And it takes, all they have to do is log in, which you would think the king could do at any time.
No. Uh-huh.
You have to hack in. You have to.
Get fucking Swordfish in there. And have Halle Berry's tits fucking hack into the system for you.
That's what Swordfish was about. I remember.
Is that what that was about?
Very well. Yeah, Halle Berry's.
Halle Berry's tits.
All I remember is that the one with Billy Bob Thornton.
No, that's Monsters Ball.
That's Monsters Ball.
Okay, that's the only one I remember.
Well, that's a right one to remember.
Yeah, that is.
Okay.
That is 100% the right one to remember.
Yeah.
That was a terrible
movie. Was that John Travolta Soldier Swordfish?
Yeah, and our boy Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, that's right.
Wolverine himself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So they bring in Leopold.
Has John Travolta been in a good movie in the last 20 years?
Has he ever been in a good movie?
Well, of course he.
Really?
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Oh, I forget you guys like Grease? That stuff.
Grease?
Grease is not a good movie.
Michael, clearly the one he's an angel.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that one.
Hey, Grease is the word. No? Look Who's Talking? Broken Arrow?
Okay, I'll give you Look Who's
Talking.
I'll give you Face Off.
Face Off's pretty dope.
All right, so he's been in like three good movies.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction, Look Who's Talking, and Face Off.
And Get Shorty.
No, I walked out of that one.
What?
Really?
It's fucking boring.
I like Get Shorty.
Ugh, it was bad. But anyway.
It's been a while for Johnny T, is all I'm saying.
Right, so the obvious embezzler shows up, and Oops, did I spoil that? Oh, darn.
Yeah, no, it's pretty obvious.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. No, totally no one saw that this dude, while he was in Monaco, built shell corporations and registered fake companies that took payments, but nothing happened.
Well, and the guy that shows up and looks at your books when there's a huge problem, and he's like, nope, no problem here. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, everything's fine. And this idiot king is like, yeah, okay, checks out.
Yeah. Again, no, he checks sucks. Out.
Just like they said he would suck.
Just like they said back in Christmas Prince 1. Yeah. Christmas Begins? Prince Begins?
The Christmas Prince Begins?
It's just the Christmas Prince.
Christmas Year 1?
Yeah, exactly. Christmas Year 1 would be a cool
movie. I mean, Christmas Year 1 is like the Santa Claus movie that they should make, like that stop motion movie where Santa Claus has a magic axe and he like fights elves and shit.
Is that a real movie?
That is 100% a real fucking claymation movie.
Really?
From the 70s.
I want to see that. Awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It's pretty dope.
All I ever see is stupid Rudolph.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Who cares?
So then her friends message her, or she's talking.
Well, they're on their way.
Coming. They're on their way, and they're like, what happened to your blog? How come everybody took your blog shit? How come you took your blog stuff down?
Yeah, it was like, great.
What? And then you find out that they're meddling with her blog. So on top of...
they hacked her.
Yeah.
They swordfished her.
They totally did. There's a lot of hacking in this
There's
movie.
A lot of hacking
being at a royal wedding?
Yeah.
In Aldovia?
Yeah.
There's a shit ton of
hacking.
And
also, the person that hacked her is like a fucking 80-year-old...
lady.
Like, fucking...
Yeah, the seneschal. It was either the seneschal or the major domo. Like, but I can't really...
They're all both like 80 years old.
Yeah. Yeah,
It really is like they didn't know. They're like, well,
is her password just password? Like, how easy was it to get into her blog?
Well, do you remember when Simon kept saying try 1234? I bet you her password was
1234.
Yeah. No, not 5, because that's like an extra number. She wouldn't remember
it. Many numbers.
Way too many. You can't remember that far.
1238?
Yeah.
No.
On top of telling her what to wear. Not letting her decorate her own Christmas
tree. Well, and also not letting her.
They didn't let her decorate her.
They wouldn't let her wear her incredibly important pendant of her mom that is super like nostalgic and has a lot of sentimental value for her because she got it yesterday from her dad.
I mean, exactly. God, she had like almost 22 hours
at least.
But I don't know if you saw that actor give it to her and say, your mother would have been really proud.
Yep, it's really hard.
Exactly like that.
That's true. Yeah, his voice did get squeaky, so that meant sad. Emotional.
So
they're just
but they wouldn't let her wear it.
And this small
town
girl.
They had her wear
girl,
a very crazy diamond encrusted.
They reenacted the affair of the diamond necklace without all the good parts. They're like, no, you can't wear this beautiful, humble, modest. It actually wasn't beautiful. You can't wear this ugly ass
pendant
locket. With a picture of your mother. But you can wear a massive diamond necklace that is way too formal for your simple little dress.
Yeah. Well, and I mean,
in
here's
the middle
the thing,
of an economic crisis.
The best thing about this is then we cut to the bar where everyone's watching and reading the newspaper with this picture in it of her and her $25 million necklace while they have not been paid in 6 months.
And
then they take to the street and they cut off her head.
Before Christmas.
They cut off her head. They cut off the prince's head.
Yeah.
They dance in their blood.
Just
and none of that happens, actually.
Yeah, no, because that would have been...
Small town really girls from the big city, man. You can't tell them what to do. Tell them what to do about Christmas.
They also want her to wear heels. Come on, ladies. You know what I'm talking about. Heels.
Not heels. What princess ever wore heels?
Yeah, come on.
Never.
At your wedding? Heels? Are you kidding me?
I do also like that she... the king, this is I thought it was really funny. The king is like, listen, I don't have a lot of time right now because the country's falling apart. Like, the economy's falling apart.
Yeah.
And, like, all these people are booing me
There's
because
riots
I don't have
in
jobs.
The streets.
And then she's like, well, let me look at the books. And then he's like, what? And she's like, yeah, you know, I do my dad's fucking accountant over there in his place in New York, I do.
Yeah.
And then he's like...
His deli or whatever.
Yeah. And him and me were like... Go the fuck sit down over there.
Like, fucking, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
And, like, for once, you have to be, like, on his side. Like, not. It's,
Like, no, I'm running a country here,
bitch.
But
the crazy thing is when his cousin, who took the first from Oxford in...
Right, economics.
Yeah, well, he called it economics, but in
that... Yeah, because he said it sounded, sounded a little
better.
Yeah. It sounded scary.
It sounded scary. Economics.
Yeah. So, but he actually studied this and he treats him the same way. Like, oh no, you're just,
he's like,
you're a newsie.
I know what you're here for.
Yeah.
You're here to stab me in the back.
Yeah. Yep.
Take the throne again.
Yep. Yep.
Take the hot bridesmaid.
So then the most relatable scene in the movie.
Joke, before you get to that, joke is on him and on me Because it turns out it's super fucking easy to figure it out. Yeah. And she did it with the help of a little girl.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was all thanks to a Christmas card. A really emo Christmas card.
That's true. A Christmas card that they sent, which it is a pretty hilarious move to send a Christmas card to the king of your country being like, hey, dude,
where's my fucking
suck
job?
My dick, asshole.
Yeah. Hey, I'm glad you guys are having a good time.
It went more
wedding.
Like, you know, how did it begin? I think it began with,
it still started with
suck my dick, you big asshole. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right.
That's what it was.
It was an amazing.
And then it was like, Merry Christmas, God bless you.
Yeah, he was like, I am so hungry, I'm going to go starve to death now.
PSPS.
Enjoy your Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm like exactly. Tiny Tim over here.
Yeah.
I'm fucking cutting a bean three ways to feed my family. Yeah.
I hope you guys are enjoying your plump Christmas goose.
Yeah. Exactly. He shares half a bean with like six orphans.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a pretty sad, and then the best part is that they take this horribly depressing Christmas card where this person is just like begging for help, and they hang it up.
Oh yeah,
they still hang it up. It's hilarious. Really funny.
Well, it's still pretty on the outside.
Yeah, because
so.
She's like, well, it's
does anything say royalty more like than it's still pretty on the outside?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's not linger on this negative. It's Christmas.
Yeah,
but I'll still pull it up.
I mean, can you really enjoy your castle and your servants and your gold and your diamonds without the suffering of peasants?
No, you can't. It's the tastiest part.
Yeah.
It's the sweetest plum.
Exactly. Yeah. That's like the salt exactly. that makes it.
Why even be rich?
If you can't enjoy the suffering of others.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
true. I don't even want to be rich.
Yeah. If everyone else was not poor, it wouldn't even...
Yeah, then if
everybody was rich, nobody is rich.
Then nobody's rich, exactly. Yeah. Then we're all just the same level of poor again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's called communism. He has the same amount of private jets as I do. Ridiculous.
No.
I want more.
Who's better than everybody else? How do we know who's better?
The best part is that they track down this desperately broke guy in a dive bar.
Which is exactly snooping. Where he would be.
Yeah.
So the friends show up and then they start snooping.
They do some snoops.
She's like, I'm going to find out. And then they go from one room into the other in a completely different outfit.
Yep.
Yes.
And nobody fucking realized that they had to do something
that.
That was
a great like Scooby-Doo fucked up animation moment.
Yeah.
It was. You know? It really
was. Because they literally just like crossed the hallway and one outfit, walked into the room in completely different.
Yeah, you watch first season of The Simpsons and like they just change colors of shirts.
Like didn't they make Smithers like a weird color at one point?
He was black at first.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's what, oh yeah.
Yeah. Smithers was black, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so they basically made Smithers white.
Yeah, they made
it. Yeah.
Whitewashed Smithers.
Yeah,
Smithers.
They did.
Bring back Black Smithers, right?
Stop being racist.
Hashtag bring back Smithers.
Bring black. Bring him black.
Bring him black.
Just hashtag bring him black.
Hashtag
Smithers.
But then they
hashtag
go get the Simpsons.
Hashtag should have been canceled 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cancel culture.
No, not because of that. Just because, come on, it hasn't been funny in a long time.
They go get the card because that's a clue.
Yeah.
Yes.
They can't find him without the card.
Yeah, exactly. They need his name.
There are people in the streets on strike and rioting.
You can talk to any person in that bar.
You could just go outside. Yeah,
every
exactly.
person in that bar is pissed off at you.
So they track this guy down who's got a different accent than the rest of them do. He's like a legit British accent.
Oh, yeah. No, well, he's like a low-town Brit. Like,
he's from Cockney. He has a fucking
Cockney
East End accent.
Yep.
And it doesn't make sense to me. And he's like, oi, governor. I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
It sounds exactly like that.
I'm so poor.
Yeah.
I have a different accent, I do.
Yeah. That's how you know.
That's how you know from the
different accents. Exactly. Dropping his H's, I don't know how I'm going to feed me orphans, mate. Yeah. They're like, aren't you from a fucking European country? Why? Okay.
No.
Yeah.
How much more fun would this movie have been if Guy Ritchie directed it?
Oh, I know, man. It's just
all the amazing accents.
It's like in Boston, if you sound like Kennedy, you're a rich guy.
Exactly. And if you sound like a dirtbag.
Yeah, yeah.
If you sound like one of the
fucking scumbag, one of the Boondock Saints.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, then you're a piece of shit and a poor person.
Oh, man.
You sound like Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
No, if you ever go to Boston, like try and find like the most blue collar like place imaginable. Like I went to this concert, so of course all the tacks were these like old union guys and long grizzly beards and the big old Boston accent. And they're like, come over here. And I'm like, yes.
You can eat that shit with a spoon.
Oh, I was. I'm like, yes, talk more. I'm going to steal your accents. My accent's idiotic. I want yours. You know?
Nice.
Like, yeah. So it was, I was in heaven, but I was not in heaven with the accents in this movie because they were all from completely different countries.
It's bad.
So he gives them information.
Well, and the information he gives them is just like,
A company went out of business, and this other company bought
this other company got. I hear this other company got all the contracts from the government.
Metal Lane,
which literally should be like public information.
Yeah,
yeah, it should be.
And then my favorite part of the whole movie is that she writes down the name of the company, Metal Lang or whatever it's called.
Metal Lark, and then he says,
"That sounds pretty. That seems pretty fishy, doesn't it?"
And then she writes down. Fishy.
They really love that part, and I was like baffled.
Oh, because if it had been done on purpose, it's a very funny, stupid joke.
Yes.
It is like a Simpsons joke or like a Naked Gun joke.
Yeah.
Where you're write down something really stupid.
Okay. And that's exactly was what it does. Referencing something or was it just stupid?
No, it was just stupid.
Okay.
It was just very stupid.
Like, why would you write down fishy? It's
because
so
dumb. With this movie, though, with the writing and directing
of
this movie.
They're making this movie for people that are not. That are either drunk or asleep or...
I was very stoned when I watched the first one.
In Love with
this
Christmas.
One.
Yeah.
So,
this is for the grandma that took a nap for the last 15 minutes. And was like, well, what's going on? Oh, it's fishy. Okay, I got
Right.
I didn't even think to laugh the first time I saw it. I rolled my eyes because I was like,
because that's stupid, right?
Yeah.
Like,
why would you write really fishy? Funny. But I didn't think, oh, Naked Lunch.
I wish I was a
12-year-old boy.
Yeah. That's what you were right down. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Very funny.
That's the favorite part. But anyway, the paparazzi show up.
Yeah. Yes. And then the cousin shows up to whisk them away in his like shitty...
So when
Ugo
when this
whatever.
Happened, because he was listening, he was looking at him when they were snooping and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you probably told the paparazzi. And I was like, yeah, that's 100% what happened.
Right, yeah.
Because he showed up with them.
To save them. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
he
then
showed
the
up with
quote
them
unquote
to save
save
them. But no, that didn't pay off either.
Nope. No. It wasn't all part of his elaborate plan.
It didn't even
lead to a good bloop.
Yeah. No. Didn't you, yeah.
We'll talk about the bloops. Yeah. Jesus.
But then,
like you said, immediately he goes after that brown chocolate.
Yeah, he definitely does. And then they're like, how are we going to find out what this company is? Computer. We have access to those, right?
Computers.
No, we got to get the young. They are the quintessential old people that are just like, who's the youngest person we know?
Yeah.
The
12-year-old, yes.
And she's like, oh, I got this. I have buzz computer words.
Yeah, so. She's like, I'll just go through the back door and integrate access to the mainframe. And you're just like, all right, those are words.
Those are real computer words.
Yeah.
I've heard people say all
out.
Of those words.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Mainframe.
Yep.
Mainframe.
But there was the scene I wanted to talk about, because it's the most relatable scene, I think, to me at least, is the one where the Christmas prince finally carves out a little time for the lady.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, honeybee.
It's actually the scene that the movie's made for.
Right. He's like, come out. We'll go in this amazing sled.
Yeah.
Right. That's decorated from Family Dollar.
Pulled by horses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By beautiful horses.
With the finest polyester.
Yes.
Fuzzy blankets. A dollar I can buy.
Yeah, because they ran out of fabric.
Or a euro, I guess.
Yeah.
And we're going to go look for the perfect Christmas tree
to
bring it back.
Super romantic.
Yeah. Very romantic
thing.
If you
want a perfect date, it's pretty perfect for Christmas.
You know, they're all in their finest, you know, wintry. He's got scarf on.
They got blankets
and stuff on.
Blankets. I said they needed hot chocolate.
That would have closed the deal. Then we finally would have had sex in this non-sex movie.
Out in the woods, which would have been awesome.
Yeah. Just fucking hardcore them in the back of the sled. Just pop, 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 pop.
Okay, but you know they had someone driving,
right? Yeah, no, he's
got
to just keep looking forward.
He's not allowed to look back.
He's a servant. That's his fucking job.
If he likes his eyeballs where they are, not allowed to look.
Otherwise, he goes to the torture dungeon. So those eyeballs come out.
These movies would have been a lot more interesting if Aldovia was that kind of country. Excuse me, Aldovia.
They go out to pick the tree, and he's like, oh, that's a pretty good tree, huh? And she's like, no, not that tree. We need a perfect tree. I was like, all right, what about this one? No. This one? No. This
he's
one?
Like, that's
no.
a triangle. We want a cone.
Yeah, he's
we
like, aren't
perfect
they the, yeah, perfect cone. He's like, all right, I thought they were the same thing, but oh, okay, whatever makes you happy. I'm just trying to do a nice thing for my lady here. And then it's like an hour and a half later, they're still looking at goddamn trees, and he's just like, Jesus fucking Christ, this fucking bitch, just pick a goddamn tree, it doesn't even fucking matter, I hate Christmas. And then, to top it all off, she picks the shittiest fucking tree, after an hour and a half how much she needs the perfect fucking Christmas tree, she picks this shitty fucking tree because it has character.
Yep.
Hey, the perfect Christmas tree is always going to have scoliosis.
It was twisted up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit looked like soft serve.
Yep. It was gigantic. It was stupid. Mm. Then she got mad because they didn't let her decorate it. And yeah. They're like, it's 60 feet tall. We have servants for that.
Yeah. Like, they need to literally get cherry pickers to string the lights.
Yes. Yes. She's like, harumph. No, I wanted to decorate because it means something to me to decorate a fucking Christmas tree. That's for every.
Just get a regular Christmas tree.
There's literally a Christmas tree in every room in the castle.
Also, there's all. Like, this is a weird thing. They have to go pick out a Christmas tree. They already have, like you said, Christmas trees in every fucking room. Mm-hmm. There's also a big deal made that it snows on the first day of Christmas, even though it's been snowing the whole time they've been there.
It's like, it's good luck.
Yeah.
It's a first snow.
The first snow, yeah. Like, no, it's not.
It's like, the snow from snow last year. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Anyways, that scene was very relatable.
We got so mad about the snow. We're like,
It seemed like it hit you a little bit too close to home.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that maybe it related to me a little bit.
Your girlfriend. About,
you know, fucking just pick a goddamn tree, all right?
Just pick a fucking tree. That's the one I told you to pick the first time.
Yeah. Are you serious? We're going to pick... That was, I saw that tree 5 minutes.
It was a triangle.
We were here for 5 minutes. I said
but
get
that
tree.
But you have to try on all the trees.
Yeah.
Oh, there is that. There was that great line where she's like... It's like love, right? And she's like, well, you gotta like pick all the other trees or so.
Oh, yeah. You have to go through a lot of different trees before you find the right one. Just like Archer, love. Yeah. And he's like, how many trees were you cutting?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like love. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, fucked a lot of dudes.
Yeah, she was a lumberjack.
Like a tree after tree after tree, especially in your 20s. And then,
exactly. I was in New York.
Yeah, and then, like you said, then maybe you look at some bushes.
Yeah.
Experiment a little bit.
How old is she?
A lot of bushes
she supposed to be.
I don't know how old she's supposed to be in the movie. I'm guessing
they're only
like
early 30s, right?
Yeah, right. Like she looks 30s.
Yeah, she does. And then in the preview for part 3, she looks like pushing 40.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because she's so like fancy.
Well, that's because they gave her that fascist makeover.
Yeah.
Yeah, they give her the
full Ava Braun.
The hair and everything, yeah.
Okay, so Amber is played by someone named Rose McIver, who amazingly is 32.
Okay. All right. So then she was like 29 in this movie.
Yeah,
she looks like 34.
Yeah.
You know what she looks like? She looks like Erin Moriarty. I can't say that name. Moriarty.
Moriarty, like the Prince of Crime.
Yeah, but Erin, the actor.
I don't know.
She's in The Boys. Have you ever seen The Boys?
Oh yeah.
How have you not seen The Boys? It's like right up your alley. That show was like literally made for
you.
Prime.
Yeah, I know what it is.
I can watch it, man. It's the best.
Based on a Garth Ennis comic, I know.
She does look like that girl.
And it's so much better than the comic. Like, they made all the right changes to it. I know, you're already like hating it, but it's so good.
No, I have not read the comic or seen the show. Sorry.
It is really good. So good. I was so good. I like low key debated whether or not I wanted to start like a YouTube channel like recapping it.
You should watch Watchmen. I'm surprised you haven't watched Watchmen.
I keep meaning to, and I just like, I guess like the reason why I never did is because they canceled it.
Yeah, so, and it's hard to jump into a thing
knowing that it's not going to have like.
But it does have a very finite ending.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't really like leave a lot of room for stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it would or not. So I was like, I don't want to like get into it and then just never know. I don't need another Game of Thrones.
It picked up the most nominations.
It did, yeah.
Back I like how we keep talking about like better media.
Yeah, exactly. All right,
but you know what's really good? Watchmen the comic.
There's also a thing where she arranges for the play to still happen.
Yes.
In a big fuck you to the unions that are on strike.
Yes.
And the people that are out in the street starving.
That's right.
Yes. She found scabs.
She finds scabs. Yeah.
She finds fucking scabs to
put
together this
fucking
play.
She finds Keanu Reeves and the Replacements.
Yep.
To come in and take care of this
to
shit.
To put this stupid play that they canceled for the kids. And it's like big and extravagant. And it's stupid looking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It looks terrible.
But the stage is the same size. So
it's a tiny stage.
Perfect size stage for two people.
She doesn't invite any of the parents. It's just like servants and the audience.
Yeah. Somebody's got to fill those seats up.
Yeah.
But this is finally we get her with other kids, which is nice.
Yeah. Again, and they're making cookies, and then that's when the chef lady is like, well, harumph, I don't like this at all.
Yeah.
And then her dad's like, eh, I want a cookie, blah, blah, blah. And just like, you.
Yeah.
And we get some more flirting between the little sister and her first cousin.
At the very least, first cousin.
Yeah. Who plays the... So he's supposed to be just another kid that goes to their high school. That is playing like her the opposite lead.
They're elite private high school, so he's definitely
related.
Cousin.
Yeah. So she's playing. They have a fairy tale in Aldovia about this woman who's a princess who has a baby that becomes Santa Claus.
It's an ogre.
Kidnaps
Grendel.
Her.
They literally like crib from Beowulf.
Kind of, yeah.
And then like there's a turtle for no reason.
Yeah,
and the turtle gives her an
odd.
Egg, and the egg becomes a baby. And it's basically it sounds like when someone's trying to like when you're babysitting a kid and they ask you where babies come from and you just like start rambling, like that's what this fairy tale sounds like. And then the turtle egg becomes a baby and it's Santa. It's
like it is definitely up, that, right? Or it's like the Axe Cop situation where if you don't know Axe Cop, it's a webcomic.
I remember Axe Cop.
Yeah, you remember that? It's like a 7-year-old boy makes up the stories and then his brother draws them. So they're all just like weird stream of consciousness. And then it's just like, and then he has a jet because jets are cool. Yeah. And now he flies in a jet.
Before he had 4 hands and then now he's got 3 hands because one of the hands runs away.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he's a bad guy now, but he's like.
But that
big.
Hand is now bad and a full size and it's 20 feet tall.
It is. It's pretty good. So this play is ridiculous and stupid, but we do get the cookie making scene, which is
they flirt a little bit, dad flirts a little bit.
It's also a way to be like, Christmas guys, remember Christmas cookies?
Yeah, it's cute.
Let's do some Christmas.
They don't make any actual Christmas cookies though. They make like a gigantic owl, something that looks like a monster avocado.
Yeah.
I don't know. None of the cookies are very Christmas.
Well, and her dad is like, best cookie gets a free meal at my restaurant back in New York.
You pay your own airfare. Forget about it.
Forget about it. Tony Soprano.
Good luck claiming that prize, huh? That's how I didn't get in business to lose money over here.
Yeah.
Big old hot dog. It was pretty ill.
He also makes a hot dog for his daughter at one point
that she does not eat.
No. I was like, you ungrateful bitch.
To be fair, the chips he made to go with it look like he deep fried styrofoam peanuts. Packing peanuts.
It looks like they went to the mall to one of those like restaurants in there and took their pieces that they put out their fake food.
Yeah.
And they're like, here you go.
Yeah.
Just put that one down.
That probably was not real food. That's why she didn't eat it.
Like, but he made a chili dog with like a veal sausage.
Or maybe they were just taking a lot of takes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably just, if she would have picked it up, the whole thing would come up with a plate and everything.
Yep. Like nothing on that plate was edible because they didn't even do that Hollywood thing where like they tear off little dainty.
This movie's got a terrible bloop, so we'll talk about that. But if the blooper reel would have been like her doing that and then like falling back and then like the stage starts to fall apart and stuff,
yes,
and like everything is fake, that would have been fucking hilarious.
Yes. It really would.
Yeah. I mean, there's a way to make this movie very funny.
Yeah.
But we'll I guess maybe we'll get to that. We'll see. So anyways.
It's called alcohol.
Well, that's true. Alcohol and drugs. Yeah.
I wish I had drugs.
Don't we all? So, where are we now? That's that plot, basically.
The little girl hacked into the thing, and they find out. But we don't find out who it is yet. Leopold, obviously. Yeah. But
obviously,
they're like, what?
And then in the meantime, the Christmas princess.
Run away.
She's had enough.
Oh yeah.
She's had enough of people telling her what she has to wear for a wedding, for a royal wedding. People are deleting her blog and controlling her stupid, ridiculous blog that nobody should have.
Yep. Yeah. So she's been missing for about 25 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is a panic.
Yeah. Everybody's losing their mind about it.
The music is so dramatic.
This was a Charlene of Monaco level panic.
Fucking the prince is running out. And first of all he does is run out into their very own yard.
Yes.
So it's not like he's going that far.
No.
But he runs out into the yard and they do the, you know, spin around camera as he's just like panically breathing. Yeah, the music. Oh my God. He's just like, oh, where is she?
And then he's like, I know where she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after spinning in the same place for like 5 minutes.
And then so he rides away.
Yeah. We're like, where? What the fuck you
mean? On this poor horse that's just sitting out there in the snow freezing, like in full tack. Like
they don't exactly
covered in snow. Like he got on a pile of snow and then the horse rode out of that pile of snow because he's been sitting under that thing for a fucking
hours. He gets on an ice cube, taps it a few times with a hammer.
It breaks off and then the horse starts running.
Yeah.
Poor horse. And then they go to a cabin?
Yeah.
So it's the cabin from the first movie. Mm-hmm. It's his dad's cabin.
Yeah.
That they first hooked up in or something. Yeah. I don't know. They kissed.
That's where they found like the acorn. That was like, ha, this is not.
Why was that the obvious place for her to go?
I don't know. Because
it's literally the only other place we've seen in either of these movies.
I was hoping
they still had the set.
I was really hoping it was going to be the bar.
The bar would have been funny.
Yeah. If she was like sitting, drinking
just
and like
pounding it.
Like,
she's
in a
wasted.
Costume. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's with the guy. She's in the bride outfit. Like, London guy, you know.
She's with like 14 Teamster dudes.
Yeah. 14 dudes and her in a wedding dress just pounding beers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like Charlene of Monaco.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's exactly how they found her when she ran away before her
wedding. That makes sense.
Wedding.
That makes
like
sense.
That scene in Adam's Family Values where she's like dancing, singing with all those sailors on her wedding night. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I gotta go to my wedding.
God bless Joan Cusack.
Yes.
God, I love her.
She's at the thing and he shows up and just gives her the romantic speech, the like trailer line where it's like, but you know.
He's like, I'll sacrifice anything, but if you have to sacrifice a single thing for me.
Which, that's not how relationships work.
Yeah, not at all.
That's good.
Especially relationships where you're a commoner marrying into a royal house.
Well, like, even a regular relationship.
You're the one who's going to be making a sacrifice.
Everyone's going to have to sacrifice something.
Yeah. But it's the part where he's like, no sacrifice. I'm like, no, dude, nuh-uh. Yeah.
But anyways, so they show back up and he's just like, all right, I've had enough. She gets to do whatever she wants. Oh, also, we found out this guy was embezzling. So he's,
it's like arrest him or whatever.
The wedding is tomorrow.
Yeah.
She gets to make all the changes she wants by tomorrow.
Also,
her dad's doing all the cooking. Including changing the fucking menu.
Changing the menu. Erica, how easy is it to... On a royal wedding?
I mean, you imagine... I mean, we used to see the wedding and there's only like 30 people there. But presumably, you're thinking there's a, you know, what, 500 people there? Yeah.
Well, they've been building
getting the food for 500 people for a wedding. That's super easy, right?
That would have taken them literally all week to prepare that food.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and then for them to just like change it the entire menu
and
the day before.
And an army of people.
Yeah.
And then to just give it to this fucking...
Hey, he knows how to make a hot dog.
Well, he had a diner in Brooklyn, y'all.
Yeah, he had a diner. Ugh. And then it was really funny when that happened. Erica was like, oh my God, do you know how hard that would be for tomorrow?
Because I've actually catered events,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like, up to 300. I think the largest we've done is a little over 300 people. And so, like, I know what goes into this. And I'm just like, no.
Yeah, you can't just change up the person.
Like, I hope the entire kitchen staff, like, just laughed.
Revolted that? Well, they were already gone. They were already on strike, so it's fine.
Actually, they were, because they were still...
No, everyone's
not those people. Everybody had to get
everyone in the royal... Yeah, everyone that was around the royal family still getting their paychecks.
Yeah. Apparently, so...
But then... So we jumped ahead, but then he's like, and you, Leopold...
I'm mad at you. And I was like, is he going to punch him? Is he finally going to... Because he looks like he's about to punch this guy.
Yeah,
he does very good angry face.
Yeah. And then he's just like, and then the guy's like, well, you'll never, you can't prove anything. I have an army of lawyers. And he starts to walk away. And it's not until the queen's like, wait a minute.
No, she pulls out bow and arrow.
Oh, yeah.
Amber does.
Like, Amber's like, where are you going?
Like, nobody. There's 15 people there. And they're all just like, well, I guess he's right. Nothing we can do.
Well, all they can do is hurrah because they're royalty people.
Yeah, exactly.
All they can do is go,
that's true. That's true. They don't know. They don't know anything else.
Yeah, they were incensed.
But then it just took a small town, big city lady.
Yeah, small town, big city girl to get that bow and arrow because from the small town in the big city.
Where was that bow and arrow?
On the wall.
18 feet up on the wall.
Yes, thank you. And she's like 5'2".
Yep. She got it down
in
4 seconds.
She always wears Converse, though, so she has those mad hops.
Yep. She's got fucking vertical, man. It's a vertical leap. Yeah. Grabs it and then tells him, like, oh, if you walk away, I'll kill you. And then they have a paper. This is a very old school fucking...
Oh, my God. It's the most hilarious.
It's the most old school...
Where it's just like, this company belongs to this guy. He's embezzled this much money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, it's a paper that says exactly that. Yeah,
I know. Paper trail a mile wide. And, like, somehow they just had no idea what's going on.
And then the queen is like, put him in a dungeon.
Do you think the Christmas dungeon? Prince has never used a computer? Is he just like, he just shows up and they're like, all right, just look in your email. And he's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Just tell me. Just tell me what it is.
Mail?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to temp for someone where you would have to print out his emails.
Yeah.
And, like,
I feel like that's the
desk.
Christmas prince.
That's definitely.
Like, they got him a smartphone and he's like, no, give me the flip one back.
Yeah.
This is too much for me.
Like, oh, I think he can't even handle the flip phone. I think he straight up wants a landline and it has to have like a 60-foot cord brought to him on a silver tray by
He has an old school stock sticker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, just that's how printing out that little ticker. So he's just reading them all the time.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't actually, it's not functional, it's just printing out random letters, but he thinks he's doing something.
Yeah.
Again, shitty king.
Shitty.
He's a very shitty king.
I think we should marry the little princess to Simon and they can roll together.
Because that's how it would work.
That's
in reality.
How it would work. In reality. Yes.
Yeah, he's like 20 years older than her.
Yep.
You just got to wait another 12 years and then you're, I mean, like,
you don't
have
to wait anything. What are you talking about?
Like,
this is Aldovia.
Maybe.
So, it's true.
This is Aldovia. Yeah. She's already of breeding age.
Yeah.
We all like an uncomfortable laugh. Yeah. Breed a child. So funny. But
they're royalty.
She honestly would have made a much better queen.
Yes.
Even Simon would have made a better king.
Yes.
He's
obviously got that.
Any of the plots where I made a better movie.
Christmas prince.
But Simon's got that jungle fever, so
they also
he's off doing
They missed
his thing.
The opportunity to have him be the advisor from the very beginning.
Yes.
And then so that he's
so that he's the
king.
Red herring.
Well, this is what is insane to me is because he keeps pointing out, like, you know, this is shady, this isn't right, let me look at it. Or, no, you are evil.
Right.
And he was right.
Yeah.
He was right.
All these plot points happen at parties and get-togethers?
Yes.
Again, where the little girl is also in attendance.
But you're right. I mean, it makes
toasting with them.
It would make a ton of sense if they bring Simon back earlier on, and they're like, all right, we're trusting you, but we're watching you. And then it's like, someone's embezzling. Simon, we knew we couldn't trust you. And then it turns out he was on their side the whole time.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, instead it was just Scooby-Doo level of
No, it's super, super ridiculous.
But then, all right, so then we're going to get the wedding, I'm assuming going to be a giant extravagant 500 person. I mean, they've been building it up so much.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, this is a royal wedding. It's right there in the title.
Millions and millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars.
I was expecting at least Harry and Meghan, and we didn't even get like Beatrice and whoever the hell she married.
We didn't even get like fake people that kind of looked like them, which we would have gotten in a Naked Gun movie.
Yes.
Like, I've officiated bigger weddings than that. Like, yeah. Okay.
No, I've been to bigger weddings than that, and I hate weddings, and I try never to go.
There was 50 people in that fucking wedding, it's the smallest church that they could possibly have found.
Yeah.
Do you know what was a bigger wedding? Was the wedding in Crazy Rich Asians? Where, you know, it's like a billionaire having a $40 million wedding, and it looked like a $40 million wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie also had a real budget, but I get what you're saying.
But it's 500 people.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. No, there's, I mean, obviously I get budgetary constraints and stuff, but
they could have CGI'd in a crowd.
Something.
You totally could have.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough when you build up to this
fucking royal wedding.
Yeah. This is right there in the title. It's a royal wedding. There's a huge big deal.
Mm-hmm. Like if they would have said like, okay, the ceremony, it's going to be very private and intimate.
Or, you know what would have made the most sense? If she's like, when did she finally like confronts him? She's like, I don't want a big wedding.
Right.
I want a tiny wedding with just our family.
Well, I was almost a big deal exactly. About that. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I was almost wondering too, because they make a mention earlier, very early in the movie, that the only other palace the father's been to is Caesar's Palace in Vegas. And I was like, oh shit. That would be crazy if at the end they just fucking elope and get married in Vegas.
And we just get a hangover style.
That would have been amazing, especially since the little princess was like so curious. She's like, oh, what is Caesar? Who is Caesar?
Yeah.
What's his palace like? And the dad's like, I don't know, full of tits.
And it's just like drunk guys everywhere and guys dressed up like dirty SpongeBob. And and then the
knockoff Spider-Man asking you for money for take pictures with him.
The little Guatemalan dudes giving you those little cards.
The strip club cards.
Escort cards. Yeah. That would have been awesome because that would have been a real culture.
I would have really loved to have seen that little girl with the creepy dad.
Yeah.
Like walking up and down, like having that montage.
Yes.
Or she's like, where should we go first? And then she turns on and he's gone and he's like rolling dice already. And she's already like, Red Bull vodka, please.
And then the post-credit scenes, rather than being bad bloops, is them being like, well, Christmas Prince, you're broke.
Yeah, yeah.
The country is done.
He polys him.
Yeah.
He polys him from fucking Rocky V, where he lost all their money.
Lost all the money.
Damn it. I should have known. So I think we just fixed the movie.
Yeah, we kind of did.
So it ends with the wedding. A grip in a dress marries them.
That's true.
It was clearly a fucking teamster.
Yeah. Just like a 25-year-old dude with a ponytail.
They didn't even have like hair and makeup see to him. They just like threw
they
him.
They just put a dress on
the vestments. Yeah. Right there. Pull your hair back.
And yep, that was good enough.
And then they get their big kiss. We also, before that, get the press conference where he tells everybody, like, hey, everything's fine.
Yeah, you're all getting Christmas bonuses.
We found all your money and stuff.
Totally fixed it.
Yeah. Instead of taking care of your friends and fixing and making sure your friends
Although I also feel like in real life, it would be very difficult to get that money back. Because he's probably laundered that through, like, a lot of different accounts.
Yeah, that would take years of finding all the shop
and it was like,
operations.
Wasn't it like 3 billion euros or something?
Yeah, it was like, it was like 259 billion euros.
Yeah.
That's crazy. How big is Aldovia? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Like, no wonder that people are like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the Christmas Prince was like, I don't know.
I do. I wish that there was a shot of a map and it's like, twice the size of India. Like, it's just like
all
Russia.
Middle of Europe.
Yeah.
It just goes from Germany to Aldovia to Russia. And you're like, what?
Like, all of it. You're like, oh, that makes sense. And it's gigantic.
It's a tiny.
I wish it would take the balls. Like, movies like this, I wish it would just take the balls.
Crazy.
You're in a made up world already.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
Like, we dive into this fake country, this fake constant Christmas world.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just go for broke, man. Go for broke and
say
you're that fucking big.
That it's Christmas every day and that it's like a Groundhog's Day situation.
Yeah, exactly. You just
or that it's a magical realm because of the abominable snowman and the cursed turtle baby.
They do keep talking about a Yeti.
If they were just like...
It comes up a lot.
Because of the Yeti and the turtle baby. Is the third one. Well, yeah, I know. But I'm saying the cursed baby turtle baby that becomes Santa Claus,
yeah.
He keeps Aldovia Christmas 24-7, 365.
Yeah, like, go for broke, man. Just go all in on that.
Yeah, I mean, they should have.
Make up the whole thing.
Yep.
So they're married, and then everybody's happy.
And then they have a dance, and they couple up.
Oh, yeah, we had the part where it's like they're playing the waltz, and everybody's waltzing. Yes. And then they're like, not today, Monsignor. And then
they play like a conga line and they all get together.
The little girl has a fucking DJ.
She has like the best royalty-free music.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. In the kingdom. I was like, oh shit, here's we go. Oh, that's just some royalty-free garbage.
You know, if, when you buy one of those like microphones, it just plays music for you?
Yep.
It's just
that's what that is.
Yeah. It's just the guitar solo and the rock song.
It's the thing that comes free with your karaoke machine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's just that. And everybody's dancing and then they go outside and it's snowing again.
It's snow and they kiss and the camera pulls back and it's...
Everybody's coupled up.
Everybody's fine. Yep, exactly.
Yep.
And then?
That's it. Oh, the bloops.
And then we get some bloopers.
I was so excited when this started. When we realized that there were bloopers? God, there were bloops.
Yeah, these guys lost their
for this entire dumbass movie. Like, there must be the most ridiculous bloops. No, there was not a single laugh to be had in these bloops.
No. These are not real bloopers. These are not bloopers that you when you...
There's like four shots of just people smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like people like accidentally looking chuckling. At the camera.
Yeah.
I think like the best blooper was when she sneezed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even then, it's not like she sneezed in a co-star's face. She's just like, oh, excuse me.
Yeah. They're so bad that even if you're those actors in those situations watching those, you would be like, oh, yeah.
Like, I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we laughed, but we were having a good time, you know?
Yeah.
Made a joke, yeah.
There's no jokes in the bloops.
No, they're terrible. It's just, like, forgetting lines real quick, but not in the funny way.
There's only one forgetting lines one, and it's the guy when the wedding planner dude pops in, and he just says a thing, and then the girl, like, kind of looks at him, waiting for him, and then he's like, oh, yeah, this. And then they're like, all right, let's do it again.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. There's no
nobody like breaks. There's no craziness.
Yeah.
None of that. She just stares at him, waiting for the next line, and he's like,
"It was bad."
Yeah,
the bloopers.
This is
terrible.
The worst bloops I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. No, they were got awful.
Don't put bloops if you don't have bloops. Don't put bloops.
They feel very.
You force the
about
bloops.
This.
And again, if you would have had them go to Vegas and you had that hangover ending where it's all the pictures of them rocking
so
out,
so good.
That would have been so good. Yeah. I would have been
but
super
yes, just
happy
don't like if you get to the footage and you're like, there's really nothing funny there. Do not put bloops.
Don't put bloopers in. Yeah.
No, but they felt like they had to. Like,
why? There wasn't bloops in the first one. Isn't a tradition.
That's true. There wasn't.
No, because the cinematographer is like, you know what? Put in some bloopers in there. I want something in there at the end.
Yeah. He was like,
no, it really does feel like they just decided going in. They're like, hey, you know what? I love like those old Burt Reynolds movies where I always have the bloops.
Yeah. And I like Super Reynolds fuck up.
Yeah, we're going to put the bloopers at the end. And then they got done with it and they're like, oh, we don't really have anything. And they're like, oh, well, there's that one scene where she laughs.
Yeah. He's like, look, I put together like six of them, but they're not that good. And then he's like, yeah, no, put them all in.
Yeah.
All
of them. He's like, I love them.
All of them in. Yeah.
Yeah. They're great. I remember that day she had a sandwich.
Yeah.
They're like, what? Like, yeah. She had a sandwich that day.
I think when she sneezes, like, they're even like, oh, yeah, you're allergic to that cologne. Like, they're not even like.
It's like, oh, they're not. It's not even like, oh, they're hilarious.
Yeah. Like, the actors themselves are just like, oh, yeah, let's start again.
Yeah, no, it ends with a shot of the car pulls up and three of them get in the back seat and then the girl's like, nobody gets in the front seat and then they laugh and then that's it.
Yep.
That's how they end.
That was like
a
big
That's
finish.
The closest thing to the joke.
It's the closest thing to a joke in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like the only like semi-good.
So anyway.
So here's how we fix it. We recast with a young Joan Cusack.
Yeah. I'm in. I'm into that.
Oh, man. I loved anything with Joan Cusack.
Can you imagine if she was the... Oh, that would be so good.
But, so then, if it's young Joan Cusack, so what is this, like 88?
Yeah, 87, 88, 89.
Yeah, I suppose like Working Girl was what, 86?
Yeah, so then who do you cast as the main guy?
Oh, yes. Working Girl era Joan Cusack.
Yeah.
Holy
with the big hair and
with the
fucking...
giant, ridiculous
shoulder
hair
pads.
Shoulder pads, yeah.
Then who do you cast as the prince? Tom Cruise?
Rob Lowe.
That's a very good choice.
Rob Lowe's a good choice.
Yeah, that is a really good choice.
WRP doesn't even matter. He just needs to look pretty.
Where do you put in? You put Judd Nelson as a cousin.
Oh yeah, that's a good
right?
choice.
Judd Nelson.
That's nailing it. That's nailing it.
Who do you put as the little girl in the wheelchair?
Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
There you go.
She's probably too young, but why not?
Yeah, actually, but you really young Drew Barrymore was very articulate and could play a smart girl.
Yeah, she can play smart. Yeah.
Yeah, all right, we put some Drew Barrymore in there.
Yeah.
And just like this princess, she already had a drinking problem.
Yeah, so exactly.
That kid was knocking back mimosas.
Yeah, she was.
Right, she was toasting with them at all these parties. Yeah. It's so weird.
It's Europe. That's fine.
Like, go play with some kids, man. You're making this...
Go drink with some kids.
She's already, like, in a wheelchair and stuff. You're making her way weirder by having her hang out with the adults all the fucking time.
Her own age, yeah.
And when they're doing adult shit, talking about adult shit and drinking and shit.
And she's the rightful queen on top of all of this.
Exactly. That's true. Oh, man. I hope that it comes to that.
I really hope. I hope that's like the plot of the third movie.
Yeah, the third movie. Christmas Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if it turns out to be her baby, as we talked about.
Yeah. Yep. Or if she gets bionic legs.
Ah. See, that you talked about the like... Christmas Prince cinematic universe. Yeah. If they go full on superhero and she gets like mantis suit.
It would have been really interesting if it turns out she was the one embezzling that money and she was like funneling it to Boston Dynamics to make her a mech suit.
To make her a mech suit. Oh, yeah. God. That'd be great.
Like, that's where that $260 billion is going to.
You could totally still go into that, man. You could say that she was using Leopold.
Yeah. He was a pawn.
Yeah.
A pawn to the... Because he believed in the true heir.
Yeah, exactly. He believed in the true heir.
Yeah. He was like Varys. He believed in the original royalty. Yeah.
See that movie.
Yeah. And then the end of it.
Stannis? No, it was a real heir to the fucking throne.
That's true. He was.
They should cast him for Leopold.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a good one. Yeah.
That guy's great. Yeah. But yeah, if she showed up at the end of the third movie with bionic legs and it's like the Ironmonger suit from the fucking end of the first Iron Man, punts the baby.
Get your Christmas baby out of here. Like, nobody's
I've never seen it, but if I've heard right, the end of Twilight is a guy falls in love with a baby, right? So it's like it's magic baby or some shit, right?
Excuse me, he's a werewolf.
Okay, werewolf guy.
The werewolf
right?
connects to the baby telepathically.
So, anyways, I'm saying like the babies. I don't know. I'm saying something about babies. Okay. So the end of the third movie, Christmas baby is born, and we find out that Christmas baby. Is fucking Santa Claus.
That's what I'm thinking.
Tie it back to the original myth.
I'm thinking because he comes from a turtle. Santa Claus. Yeah.
A turtle shows up and is like, here you go. What's her name again? Blonde girl?
Amber.
Amber. Here you go, Amber. A Christmas baby. And then the baby already has a beard and like the hat and everything.
Yeah, of course.
And an axe. But it's still a baby, right?
Yes, it's still a baby. It's 100% a baby.
Oh, yeah. This is so adorable.
But it'd be cool if it gets really, really dark right before that. Like, they lose her actual baby.
She has a miscarriage.
Yeah, like a miscarriage. Yeah. And then like, she's, like, dying. And, like as she's dying, the big turtle shows up. Exactly.
Hallucinations. This is how the Nick ended.
It's like the lion turtle from Avatar and his giant.
Really? Is that how the Nick ended?
Yes. He was, like, bleeding out and, like, hallucinating and shit. So, like,
Giant turtle shows up and then gives her and then, like, then they have the baby and just comes out as a fucking Santa Claus baby.
Yeah, it's just Santa Claus baby.
Yeah.
But, like, what do they call those little in anime? Is it chibi?
Yeah, chibi.
Like, it's like little chibi Santa.
Yeah.
Like
that.
It's chibi not even Santa. A baby. It's just chibi Santa. Like, that's baby.
It's animated.
Animated? Oh, my God. It's animated?
For, like, no reason.
Well, like, if she's hallucinating, like, part of it can be animated and it's just like...
And then we can debate for years whether or not the ending was real or just a dream sequence as she was dying.
Did she die at the very end? Yeah. It still ends with bad bloops.
Yes. Including one from the Santa Claus baby.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just like, goo goo. Oh, shit. My lines were ba ba. Sorry. Okay. Let me take it again. Let me take it again.
And it's not the baby. It's just like the guy in the booth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not even cute or funny. It's literally the priest from the end of this one.
Yeah. It's not even the actual baby.
Yeah.
Yep.
The turtle shows up all glowing and then trips and hits one of the lights.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't even do that.
No, that would be like a good bloop. Like, it would be
missteps
real quick and just like, and then that's it.
He was like, is this my mark guy? Oh, one step back.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right.
No laughter or anything that, but they just...
Because it's not funny!
Yeah, everybody's like, reset, and then that's it. Yeah.
God damn bad bloops.
Was that your line?
Perfect.
Yeah.
So anyway, we fixed this one and the next one.
Yeah, we definitely fixed the next one yet. Yeah, we haven't seen it yet, but we will... And we will be showing, or not showing it to you. Netflix is showing it to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we will be talking about it Christmas time this year.
Christmas time. We'll come back around.
Come back around. Yeah.
If we still have like a Christmas and a year and all that stuff.
I think this is going to be the year without Christmas. So we should just
maybe
do it for Halloween.
I mean, you just can't be around
This is also going to be the year without Halloween.
Yes.
Oh, God, that's actually
I mean,
true.
You already wear a mask for Halloween. It's fine.
That's true. Yeah.
With a hole over your mouth.
Just cover up that hole.
Suffocate. That's what she said.
Yeah.
Nah.
So that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
I do want to, first of all, thank Erica for being here.
Thank you again,
Thank you
Erica.
For having me.
I want to plug our sponsors, which we haven't done yet. People's Choice Video.
Yeah.
People's Choice Video, of course. As always, Tucson, Arizona, Waukegan, Illinois. Buy, rent, sell. They don't have this movie. It's Netflix, but everything else.
But that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Actually, you don't want to watch this movie anyway. Yeah, so no. You can go there. Adult films, video games, everything else. And check them out.
Also, they are nominated for Best Video Store in Tucson. So if you go to TucsonWeekly.com, find the best of. You don't have that much time. No matter where you are, just go on there. Pick whatever random shit. Find People's Choice Video, vote on them.
And vote on them. Yes,
just
for
don't
sure.
Vote for like Magpies again, because like they win every fucking year.
Yeah, they're not.
And we have like 800 pizza shops. Yep. no offense to you guys, Magpies. I'm just saying.
Definitely check out People's Choice Video. Remember, of course, we have a Patreon now. Support our Patreon. Support our Instagram, Facebook. Talk to us. Email blockbusterastrology@gmail.com.
Send them money so they can buy me booze.
That's right.
Also, Tanya's 33.
Tanya's 33.
Go get some burritos. I'm there on Monday.
Yeah.
Come say hi now.
He is. He is there every Monday looking very handsome and manly. And
Wearing mascara.
And wearing mascara as you advised me to do.
And eyeliner. I didn't mention mascara, but now that you mention
God damn it, Eric.
You would look lovely. Seriously, just do mascara and eyeliner. You'll look chef kisses.
All right, I'm going to have to.
Yeah. As in, my chef will literally give you kisses.
Yeah. I'm holding you to that.
Yeah. Please marry my brother.
So that's the end of the show. Until next week.
Next week, I think we're going to have a much anticipated talked about
episode. Are we going to do it? Week? Finally going to do it?
Masters of the Universe.
Stay tuned for our most
controversial.
Yeah, the one with Dolph.
Oh, my God.
Stay tuned for our most controversial episode.
Yep. We've been setting up for this since we started.
That's pretty much true.
When are we going to have Masters of the Universe? Because that's a stupid fucking movie.
That I love.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that next week. And until then, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
I'm Erica Lida.
Wishing you a good night. And as He-Man himself would say, a good journey.
We love you. We'll have lots of fun with Mr.
Snowman. Yes, until the other kiddies knock him down. Later on. We'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we've made. Walking in a winter wonderland. Walking in a winter wonderland.